here from Spartan Mac. He's recently just started with Jim and Corey as reporter and writer for Spartan Mac. So introduce yourself, Justin, for those who don't know you.
Hey, guys. Yeah, thanks for having me on, Spencer. So, like you said, I'm Justin. I write for Rivals. I recently was given the opportunity by Jim and Corey over there at SpartanMag.com. I'm a student at Michigan State. I'm going to be a senior this upcoming year. Mechanical engineering major, so not really typical for someone that goes into the writing side of things, but it's what I've always been into. So that's a little bit about me. So, yeah, I guess we can go ahead and get started on talking about some recruiting.
Absolutely. And it was a pretty dry month of May for the most part. April was really the month where we got a lot of commits. But, I mean, I'm assuming we're going to get a few commits in June, but we'll start out with some in-state guys that a lot of people are wondering about. So, Andrell Anthony, as we talked about earlier, Corey, and I forgot the other guy that mentioned that he could be looking at a summer timeline. So, where do you think the Spartans stand with him right now?
Yeah, so I'm sure as a lot of people know, that wasn't someone that we were a favorite for until Coach Stucker took over, like a lot of the in-state guys. But he was able to sneak in a visit in the first week of March, I want to say, or either the last week of February. And he basically had a completely different impression of Michigan State after that. And the communication has been constant. Our wide receivers coach, Courtney Hawkins, has been talking to him all the time. Mel Tucker told him from the beginning he wasn't going to let him leave the state, talks to him all the time. So basically what Corey's saying there is that we're the leader. And with Josh, who was the other Rivals reporter, Josh Helmholt, I think, he said that it's looking like a summer decision. And then if you put those two things together with Corey thinking we're the current leader and Josh saying that we're going to decide soon, that recruitment's looking pretty good right now. We'll see how long he drags it out into the summer. If it's within the next month or two, I think it's pretty much set that we should be able to land him. If it goes to late August, maybe that's enough time for someone else, like maybe Penn State, to take a lead. But I think right now that's pretty much safe to rely on Corey's future cast like that. And I think we're in good shape there with Andrell.
It's just funny, though, because a lot of the in-state guys I had on, and Andrell, and I mean, it wasn't that long ago, probably 3 weeks, a month ago, and he was telling me, you know, he had no idea even his final 10 schools. He just released that, and he was looking at December, and it's just funny how things can change.
So yeah, quick. Yeah. I think we saw that with a lot of guys throughout the calendar year. Some still stuck to it. Like, I think Edwards is still going to be like November, December, but yeah, there's a lot of guys like Andrell here that have ended up changing their thought process.
And the next guy is a perfect example again, Jamari Budden.
Yeah.
Who, I mean, it's like, it's hard to even get a word out of the guy. Very quiet guy. I recently saw he put on Twitter something. He's going to announce his commitment date the first week of July. I think it's going to end up being like July 31st, somewhere around that time. So where do you think we stand with him right now? I know there was, you know, a few crystal balls in for Penn State, but not very high predictions.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sure, as you know, and as all your listeners know, that's mostly just because of the foggy feature being phased out by the guys over there. And, if they had any sort of solid, solid intel or sources giving them real smoke about him going to Penn State, they probably would have put it in with a confidence rating of 4 or 5 at least. I think them putting it in at 2 kind of just signifies that it's still a 50-50 shot in the dark. If he does commit to Penn State, though, I don't think it would surprise anyone. If he commits to Michigan State, I don't think it would surprise many people. I think that's pretty much like the best way to summarize it right now. Like you said, he's pretty quiet. There's not really a lot to know there. Maybe he hasn't even fully decided between the two schools. That's also a possibility. Corey has maintained that, and that's Corey Robinson. For those that don't know, he's one of the best recruiting insiders. He works over here at Spartan Mag as well. Mm-hmm. He's been adamant the whole time that we're the leader. And now he hasn't said that it's a lock that we're like a clear-cut leader, but he's still sticking to his future cast that it's Michigan State, and there's not really any sort of concrete evidence to point otherwise. So I would say that Michigan State fans shouldn't get too excited, and they should prepare for a possible commitment to Penn State, but there's no reason to stop following that recruiter or to lose hope, because I do think it's 50-50.
I know this might be a bad comparison for people that might get mad, but I guess like a person that he kind of reminds me of is Vernon Carey in a sense, because a lot of people thought Michigan State, some people thought he was Duke. I feel like it's the same scenario with Budden, because, you know, a lot of people might think Penn State, then a lot like Corey have said, I know Corey's been telling me for a while, like you said, Michigan State, Michigan State. But I don't know. I think you're right. I think he's dead on 50-50 right now.
Yeah, I would say it's 50-50. I think the Vernon Carey scenario is a little different, because there was, I guess you can say, false smoke put out by Vernon Carey a month or two prior to his commitment. I know when he was on campus at Michigan State, I believe that was my freshman year, he was basically saying that he was going to commit to Michigan State. And then fast forward a few weeks and he's at Duke. I think with Budden, there hasn't been any sort of clear, at least not from him, any sort of statement that he's a solid lean or anything like that to Michigan State, like Carey. But yeah, I guess, yeah, it is kind of like Carey, though, where at the end it's 50-50. So we'll see what happens.
Now, the next thing, me and you have been going at it for weeks about this, and nobody knows the true answer, guys.
Yeah.
So let's talk about Gabe Neely. Do you think Javon Grigsby, for those that don't know, safety out of Louisiana, who we're probably leading for. So what do you think? I kept telling you, I think he probably felt the competition creeping up on him.
Yeah.
And what is your stance on it?
Yeah. So I can see how that can lead to decommitments. The reason that I don't think it happened in this case, though, is because of the fact that if you look at the modern day, I guess, philosophies and defensive schemes in football, a lot of times with these spread offenses, you're mostly playing five DBs at a time. And we would have signed a five DB class had he stayed a part of the class. So this is a pretty traditional allotment of DB commits that we had at five. And I don't see how that would have been a surprise to him. And when I say five, I'm assuming that Grigsby's a part of the class, which is what he probably would have been assuming at the time. I'm not saying it's a lock or he's a silent commit, but I'm just saying by his thought process of if we get Grigsby, it's five. So yeah, at that point, we would have had a traditional amount of DB commits. And that's also something the staff has been telling him from the beginning, that we were going to be taking five DBs. So I don't think that could have been something that surprised him. And also, he was heavily recruiting Javon Grigsby the last few weeks before Neely decommitted. So the fact that five commitments from DBs is not atypical, and the fact that he knew about it, and the fact that he was recruiting Grigsby, kind of makes me think that's the competition aspect that he might be attributing his decommitment to, that's not entirely the full story. But I also can't really speculate on what else it could be. So I guess maybe one day it'll come out. I don't know. We'll see. Maybe it is just that, but I don't know.
And like, I remember him tweeting, and I think we mentioned this, like he was tweeting, you know, I got another one coming.
Secondary just got better. That was the tweet. Yes. Second. Yeah.
And then I just thought of something, you know, maybe I don't know if this is it, but when we offered Chase Lowry, we offered him the DB out of Texas, guys. And I talked to him the other day. He said, even though we didn't make his top 11, he's still really, you know, very well considering us. I wonder if when we threw that offer out, it kind of pissed off Neely.
Maybe, but I don't know if, because not every offer is an offer that's committable. I think Lowry's probably is, but for someone to get an offer and that make another kid mad, I don't think that would be, like, for example, when Coach Tucker offered the King brothers, Kalen and Kobe, out of Cass Tech, that was after they had committed to Penn State. And yep. The idea of offering those guys after they've committed is a way to, I guess, appease the high school for future, like, relationship purposes. And so an offer these days does not mean that much, not as much as it used to. It can be for a lot of different reasons, for example. So Lowry getting an offer alone should not have been something that Neely even like would flinch at. Now, if Lowry was close to committing or something like that, then I could see Neely having issue taking issue with it. But the staff would have to be closer to finding his replacement than just having sent out a recent offer. So again, I still don't see how that would be something that Neely took issue with, but who really knows, to be honest.
Honestly, that's where I'm at with it. I'm just trying to think of different scenarios. But yeah, the next one, obviously, I don't know who put it out, but someone had us finishing 13th in the Big Ten next year. And I was kind of shocked by that. But with that being said, we're going to have a young football team for the most part. So where do you think Michigan State should be focusing and prioritizing the most for the 2021 class? Like, what position do you think, all right, that position needs upgraded at?
Yeah, I would say that they have prioritized those positions because I would have said the offensive line. Mm-hmm. I would have said the defensive line, and I would have said DBs. And I think we got two very solid safeties that are true freshmen and redshirt freshmen coming up next year with Darius Snow and Michael Dowell. But beyond that, we could always use like an injection of youth in the secondary. And I think if we get Grigsby and with Gravely, safety position should be set between those four guys, Snow, Dowell, and those two commits or the possible commit in Grigsby. So I think we've locked up the safety position, which was something that was needed after Henderson leaves. And I think cornerback, there's a lot of uncertainty after some of the older guys. Like, I know we got Shakur Brown and maybe Dom Long this year, and then a few guys like that. But other than Gervin, we needed like some new youth over there too. And I think we're on our way there, especially with Brantley. I think he might be able to contribute as a freshman. Yeah. So, yeah, DB is definitely, I would have said, one of my biggest concerns. And then the D-line, we'll see what happens with Rashawn Benny. Well, his recruitment is still a ways away. I think Tyson Watson could play very early. I know Michael Fletcher, we'll have to see how he develops. But a lot of the talent there is very young, so I was worried about the defensive line. So it's good to see we're prioritizing that. And then offensive line, we're getting guys that are just bigger and stronger. That was something that, at the end of the D'Antonio regime, that kind of fell off. I remember one of the strengths that the SEC teams have, even when they're not elite, when they're not elite in talent at other positions. Like, you look at average teams like Kentucky. I guess Kentucky's kind of the uptick, but even like these middle of the road SEC teams like Kentucky, Arkansas, these guys, they would just have guys that were bigger and stronger. And when they'd go play out of conference, that would be just their little, I guess, icing on the cake that would put him on top of like the other middle of the pack school. So if Mel can bring that kind of size and strength to the Big Ten, I think that'll be an offensive line that just looks different than everyone else in the conference, other than maybe Ohio State and Penn State. So that's key right there.
Yeah. And I agree with you on all the positions. One position that does worry me is tight end, because I mean, I know we have, Gillison, Dotson, but it wasn't very productive last year. And I know that Jay Johnson wants to change that.
Yeah.
I
agree with you there on the tight end being something that is important. I kind of want to wait to see how Gillison's offseason went, because I know they're saying if he slims down, he could be one of like the better tight ends in the Big Ten. And then I want to see what Johnson does with Adam Berghorst. And both of those guys are fairly young. So if those guys pan out, I think we'll be good there. But I agree. I'm really looking at who that second tight end ends up being. I know Michael Traig was kind of mentioned there for a bit. We'll see if we can get him to visit. But and then if we can get Mitchell Evans out of Ohio, something like that as the second tight end spot, that would be a major W in that for that position group.
Speaking of tight end, not that it's that big of a deal, but I saw Cameron Allen posted he got offered by NC State today. And I mean, I don't know how much that impact, has on it, but definitely something to, look out for, because I mean, I'm not going to try and say he's going to decommit to everyone, but Corey did say the only two guys he was always worried about was Neely and Allen. You think Allen will stay put with us?
I think that depends on who else we get. if we get, for example, Mitchell Evans from Ohio State or from Ohio, and then we do somehow land a Michael Trigg, or maybe we get involved with like one of the upper echelon tight ends that we might not right now be in the picture with, at that point, I can see him being recruited over possibly, but I don't see him leaving unless we over allocate the tight ends. Like, unless we have like three tight ends in the picture are ready to commit or something like that, I don't see him leaving. And yeah. I think that tweeting out the offer thing, I saw that, but I think these guys just do that so they can document all their offers, and that so the recruiting services will put them in so that they can keep their profile updated. So I wouldn't look any further into that.
Yeah. So another position that I've been noticing that's been really quiet on, Justin, is the running back spot. So we had Davion Prim who committed, first overall commit for the class. There was a lot of smoke with Logan Diggs, but I haven't heard much on him lately. Yeah. We all know we want Edwards, but who would you say is that leader for that second running back commit?
Yeah, actually, I thought we were really heavy into Logan Diggs, especially like around that time when he took that virtual visit, the same day that Ham Faye committed. But Corey actually found out that the staff's top two are Donovan Edwards, obviously, and Audric Estime from New Jersey, 4-star. And he's actually those guys are like our 1A, 2A, like whoever commits first, like you take them. And Logan Diggs, I guess, must be in like the second tier then, along with I guess Gabe Irvin from Georgia, Justin Johnson from Illinois. Yeah, I guess like that second tier of priority. So yeah, I guess according to Corey, that Audric Estime kid from New Jersey is who we should be keeping a track of. And his teammate, Gino Vandermark, I believe, offensive lineman, I think tackle, might be able to play guard. He's a guy that we're also interested in. And like Corey was saying, for both of those guys, they were prematurely crystal ball to Rutgers just because their high school coach was hired by Rutgers as a running backs coach. And that led to a lot of analysts just putting in Rutgers crystal balls and future casts. But we are firmly in the top two or three for both of those guys. Neither of them seem to be in a rush, but it's very possible that those two 4-stars are two guys that we're in the hunt for heading into the last few months of recruiting. And those could be some guys that really give our class a boost there at the end.
Yeah, I couldn't remember Estime's name, but I knew we were looking at the guy from New Jersey. That's his name, guys, for those that don't know. But with Edwards, I mean, do you really think we have a good shot at him? Because if you ask Michigan fans, I know that's not saying much. Yeah. To them, it's like he's a lock there. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but yeah, I agree that that's their perception. But then the question I would propose, and this is pretty much what everyone is saying about the fact that Michigan can't possibly be a lock. Mm-hmm. So if Ohio State was Edwards' first choice and Michigan was a very close second, like people are claiming, wouldn't Edwards have committed to Michigan right when Ohio State filled up? So I think that kind of shows that there is no clear-cut leader for Edwards, because if anything, that Ohio State class filling up would have given him the incentive to hurry up and reserve his spot at his second favorite school if he would have had a clear-cut team to take that spot. I don't think he does. And I think it might even be like a 4 or 5-way tie right now. And it's also very possible that he could end up committing somewhere that he doesn't even have an offer from yet. Mm-hmm. It seems like anytime a new school gets involved, like I think you saw Oklahoma 3-4 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. Anytime he gets a new offer like that, like they pique his interest. And maybe that's just what he says in order to keep everyone guessing. But it seems like there's always new schools there in the mix. And I think if Coach Mel can get him on campus one or two more times, I think, yeah, we're definitely in the thick of it. I think we'd be in the top three. Right now, I don't think there is a top three that you can draw a line in the sand regarding or anything like that. But yeah, I don't think there's any reason to assume that we're out of it. Mm-hmm. But I also don't think there's any reason to assume he has a favorite like Michigan.
Yeah, the only other school I was thinking, if it wasn't Michigan, would it be Georgia? But someone was telling me, and you probably know the name, they are also considering that guy from IMG and whoever committed first, they would take. So then that leaves, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I actually can't remember the name, but that's a reason that I can't see that happening. And another reason is their depth at running back, as it always is very stacked.
Mm-hmm.
And I just don't see why a position like running back is one where Donovan Edwards would want to give himself, I guess, like a handicap on carries, mm-hmm. when he could go to Michigan State. And depending on if Eli leaves after this year or stays another year, I guess, mm-hmm. he could, as a true sophomore or a true freshman, get, I'd say, 50% of the carries or more. And I don't see him picking Georgia over a situation like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess DeAndre Swift went there while they had Nick Chubb and Sony Michel, and Dalvin Cook's brother went there while they had DeAndre Swift, and they still seem to keep going over there. But I don't know. I see Edwards as someone that prioritizes early playing time a little more than those guys possibly.
And it's crazy because I think Collins is considered a redshirt sophomore this upcoming year, so he really could stay three more years, but I don't see that happening.
Yeah, I think with running backs and shelf life in the NFL, the second you're projected to go in the top two or three rounds, I think you should go, but we'll see. We'll see what it does.
And the last guy I wanted to ask you about, and this is a very uncertain guy. I had him on my podcast, very nice guy, Rashawn Benny. Also, for those that don't know, he's teammates with our Davion Prim, who's committed. They're at Oak Park. Where do you think Michigan State stands with him? And I know, like he told me, as you know, he wasn't really considering us until Tucker was hired. So where do you think Spartans sit as we speak?
I think he's almost just as uncertain as Edwards right now, just with not as many candidates.
Mm-hmm.
That depends on who you ask, I guess. Like, some people will tell you that he's definitely going to go out of state.
Mm-hmm.
And then they would tell you that Penn State's the leader. Other people close to the situation would say that his desire to leave the state changed after Mel got there, and suddenly it's between Michigan State and Michigan. And I promise you, we're in better shape than Michigan right now for Rashawn Benny. So I guess if you're of the belief that he's leaving the state no matter what progress Mel made, then I guess you could say that he might go to Penn State, mm-hmm. or one of the other schools that are involved. I don't know the exact state of those other schools, like who's hot right now, who's cold with him. But he has some candidates that are pretty good. But I would say that he's somebody that's one of the more unknown players right now. But if I had to give you a top two, I would say Penn State and Michigan State. And I would say it's also a coin flip.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that after visits open up, we're going to start to hear more about his feedback on our staff, on Penn State staff. And I think we'll know. He's pretty open in terms of him giving feedback on what he thinks of coaches and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that not that much has happened right now. And it's really hard to get any idea on the movers and shakers beyond the fact that Michigan State is rising. That's pretty much all we know there.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, all the in-state guys that came on here, you know, him, Budden, Anthony, they all were set on. They wanted to take that whiteout visit to Penn State.
Yeah.
But I don't know how likely it is to happen, considering it's in, you know, October or whatever. Yeah. But,
and speaking of those kind of guys that we were out of it for and in, I don't know how many people know that Corey has shed some light on this, but he brought up a month or two ago that Damon Payne, the five-star kid that is deciding between every offer in the world, that he was originally planning to not even visit Michigan State anymore during the D'Antonio era, and we were not going to make his top 10. And Corey got the read on the situation that suddenly – there's a, I guess, an even parallel between four or five schools, I guess, at the top of his list. And Michigan State is right there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's not to say that he'll choose us over Alabama. I would not bet money on us landing Damon Payne or even us being in his top two.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that we're up there in like the four, five, six schools after not even being given a chance, I think that right there is probably the biggest prime example of what Mel's done, even though we've seen lots of examples like that with Andrew. Even Jalen Reed, who didn't end up going here, is another example of that. But I think Damon Payne right there, the work we've done there, even if we don't land him, that's probably the most impressive recruiting job so far, I would say.
Yeah. I mean, the last thing I guess I'll ask you, and I know it's kind of hard to predict, but a lot of people always ask me this. So with recruiting, where do you see, you know, Michigan State finishing maybe this year in the rankings and years to come under top?
I would say this year we probably – it would depend on the core group of in-state guys. If we land two of them or more, so if we land, I guess, Budden or Andrell, if we land two of those guys by I guess, say, September, and kids start to go on visits, I think then we have a really solid shot to end up landing four of them. I guess you could add Payne and Benny to the mix. And suddenly you're looking at a class that's, if not top 25, at least like top, I don't know, 28, top 30. If you don't land, if you don't generate that in-state momentum here pretty quickly, I think then you might be looking at a class where if you only land one of those guys that are in-state, and then you're suddenly looking at a class that's maybe top 40. And I know some people would look at that and be like, okay, that's not an improvement from D'Antonio, which I guess numbers-wise it's true, but you have to not compare it to D'Antonio's previous classes. You would have to compare it to where you think D'Antonio would have ranked this year with the pandemic, with Zoom recruiting, where technology is taking precedence. And I do not think that D'Antonio would have been in the top 50 this year. And I personally would argue that right now we might have three or four commits if D'Antonio was the coach here during this quarantine. So, yeah, I guess 40 would – 38 ranked class, 40th, would not be a huge improvement over past years, but there's no way to tell if D'Antonio would have been able to keep that up. And I think that would still be an accomplishment. But next year, I expect it to be a top 20 class. I think for the people that pay attention to the reaction of kids once they get an offer, those 2022 kids are already going out of their way to say that one of their five officials will be to Michigan State, or they can't wait to get up there. It's one of their favorite schools. The 2022 kids, there's four stars all over the country, Georgia, North Carolina, Arizona, pretty much everywhere you can think of that are putting Michigan State in their like preliminary, like top fives, like in their minds. And I think 2022 is going to be a great recruiting year, regardless of what happens with this class.
Yeah, absolutely. I've been seeing that all over as well, especially from our guy Hodge. I'm just messing you. But that's all I got to ask you, Justin. I appreciate you for joining me. If you want, you can plug your Twitter or whatever.
Yes, sir. You guys can follow me at Justin Thind, JustinThind. That's the handle on both of those social media platforms. And yeah, thanks for having me. I'll definitely be back soon. There might not be a lot of recruiting content this month, but we can always talk about season previews or maybe basketball recruiting next time. But yeah, thanks for having me.
Absolutely, man. I'll get this edited and posted it so you can see the link and all that.
Excellent. All right. Thank you.
Yep. Talk to you later, man.
Yes, sir.